Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Hey, y'all. Don't forget to check out the program for 1 hour there on the Odyssey app or odyssey.com. Your chance to win $5,000 a day. Okay, we'll go to California. Couple said they're looking to move out of their, quote, dream home after a frightening incident involving a JetBlue aircraft. Michael Reese and Leah Farnari are suing the airline for $1 million. They allege a block of ice the size of a watermelon fell from a flight on New Year's Day and crashed through the ceiling of their home in Inglewood. Per the complaint, they're getting ready for bed about 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
A block of ice suddenly slammed into their bedroom and fell on their pillows. The couple said they barely escaped devastating physical injury. The flight had just set off from L.A. to New York when the ice incident took place. The FAA found during its investigation that the plane in question had a history of potable water problems going back at least 6 months, and it was suspected of dropping a similar piece of ice on a home in Boston in the summer of 2023. Jeez. Since the incident, the couple say they now cringe in fear each time a plane passes over their home, which is at L.A. International Airport. Meaning, an airplane goes over their house once every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They said in the suit that the fear of planes flying overhead has made his insomnia so bad that he's had to reject work as a commercial driver for the TV and film industry. Two also say in their complaint that they now feel unsafe in their home that they bought in 2020. Our question, what happened because it was cold? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Andy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So you guys remember, like, 20 years ago when camping out for Black Friday was a big thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, massive.
Yeah, so back when I lived in Minnesota, my friends and I decided that we were going to go do the Black Friday thing and headed there at like 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving and set up in line. I was dressed in like all of my sweaters that I owned, and we had blankets and sleeping bags and everything. So we were all decked out, ready to go. And it was still cold. I want to say it was like 0 degrees out.
Jeez, man.
And so, yeah, we were good, but at about midnight, this girl shows up, and she's dressed in basically like jeggings and one of those like teeny tiny fashion jackets with like a little fringe of fur on the hood and nothing really insulation wise.
Yeah.
So she's hanging out there with her friends or whatever, and she ends up just passing out. Ambulances show up. So she actually had hypothermia. She was so cold standing out waiting for Black Friday that she got taken away in an ambulance.
Damn.
You'd think if you lived in Minnesota, you know better than that's not the time to do fashion.
If you're going to spend the night when the sun is down,
right,
in Minnesota in November, that is so stupid to me.
Quite.
Yeah, it is. But don't they have, isn't that like one of the biggest indoor malls in North America, in Minneapolis?
Yeah, that's the Mall of America. We were at a much smaller one outside. It was a Best Buy, actually. So it's like not much infrastructure there.
All right. When you were in line, because you said Best Buy, it's Black Friday. Yeah. They're going to do their deals. Were you there for you or were you buying gifts?
I wasn't even really there for me. I ended up buying like a hard drive or something because I didn't have any money. I was broke in college. So like I was just there for the experience, really. So.
And how was it? Like, when they opened the doors that morning, like 6 o'clock, whatever, I mean, are people just losing their minds to go flying into the store?
Yeah, no, I mean, there were people, like, breaking rules and everything going up. They were handing out tickets at this point, like, so they didn't really have the big, like, shoot everybody, fight everybody, rush in the door. But, like, they'd go out and hand out some tickets for people for the big items. And so, like, the first 30 people get something. And there's, like, one guy who kept cutting in line, coming up front, taking tickets and bringing them back. And he actually got kicked out by, like, a kind of mob rule thing.
You know, it's funny because it used to be people went crazy. As far as Christmas shopping went, it was Christmas Eve, right? So Black Friday was a thing, but anytime I saw the news, and the first time I saw violence break out for Christmas shopping in the news, it wasn't a Black Friday thing. It was the year of Tickle Me Elmo, all right? So it had been released like 85 maybe or whatever it was, but they released Tickle Me Elmo. It's all the rage. I don't know much about it because I'm just at the perfect age, do not care one way or another. But I'm watching the news with my parents, man.
Are you sure? You thinking about Cabbage Patch?
It could have been Cabbage Patch.
Cabbage Patch was massive. And then in the 90s, I was just old enough to not want to Tickle Me Elmo, but that was a craze, too.
But it was, so they show, it's these two women. Again, this is like December 23rd, all right? So it's one of those deals where you had known that this toy was the hot product, but like a lot of parents, and this is pre-Amazon and all that, so you couldn't order it in advance, they just didn't get around to buying it. So they're at the store to get whatever's left of either Cabbage Patch or Tickle Me Elmo. And it's just like these two housewives, man. And they are throwing haymakers in the middle of the aisle. And I could not believe my eyes. I'm like 16 or 17. I'm like, because they both had their hands on the last whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you see them tugging, and there's the news voiceover. And I mean, these ladies are throwing blows that would knock you the F out, man. And they're just going and going. I remember the box ripped, the toy hit the ground. And I'm like, my God.
Okay.
So my dad looks at me and just said, see, when your brother and you were growing up, if we were in that situation, you just didn't get the toy. Like, I ain't fighting anybody over a goddamn toy for my child. It never happened.
I'll wait. Is that era gone? The era of waiting in line for something? Because the last I can remember a story, and it's based on the fact of just how people shop. So with the brick and mortar thing, maybe the last story I remember is a new iPhone coming out. And people standing in line for a new iPhone or whatever. But like for an example, let's just assume
they'll still do it with certain phone releases I've seen. Because the way they do it is, like, inevitably, you can order this online, but it's much better publicity for us to say, look, 3 days before it's going to be released to everybody, so to speak, you can get it exclusively at these stores, and you get those ridiculous lines. And it's funny, because these people, they go in, they get their phone, and then when they leave, it's deathly quiet, because they're all just staring at a screen and walk out of the store.
I mean, it's kind of coming back with certain things, especially with tennis shoes. Nike made kind of a mistake. I was reading an article, like, basically during the pandemic, they just closed down all their stores. Because everything was online, and they just didn't expect, especially with shoes, like, people like to buy them in person.
Yes.
So, like, they
like to try on these shoes.
Right. Correct. Like, there's certain Air Maxes I could buy, because I know exactly how it fits. I have pairs of different colors. But Nike, actually, they're like, man, we kind of made a mistake, because they closed down all their stores, and then they took a lot of stuff off the shelves. So then you have, like, Dick's Sporting Goods, which is massive. And they're like, well, we already gave this shelf space to like Adidas or somebody else.
So, okay. Oh, damn.
Well, I think certain elements people are definitely will wait in line and go back.
Right. And just the idea of buying a ticket. So, okay, let's just say that the Seahawks make it to the Super Bowl. And let's just assume that the Super Bowl this year or wherever is going to be in Seattle. Now, when those tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. or whatever it is, you can't go down to the stadium.
No.
And stand in line and buy a ticket. If there's some concert you want to see at Climate Pledge Arena, they say tickets go on sale Friday morning at 10 through Ticketmaster and Ticketmaster outlets, right? That's an outlet. But there's nobody sitting in a box down there.
Not anymore, no.
Selling tickets. So as far as standing in line to buy something, like I would stand in line to buy a ticket to see a team that I really cared about or a concert that I really cared about. So the experience. But other than that, I'm not standing in line to go shopping.
Last time I even stood in line, and it was an overnight deal, but Kiss was during the reunion tour in like 96, 97. So it's the first time all the original members are getting back together. And you still got paper tickets then. I lived in Baltimore, so I went to the Baltimore Arena. probably 2,000 other people down there, and like just didn't go to sleep, but we spent the night out there. Got down there at midnight. I want to say it was a 10 o'clock deal,
yeah.
Right? And it was kind of a cool experience because everyone has a common interest and everyone's just trading stories, but a lot of us had never seen the original lineup in spite of having liked the band. So literally waited, and what are they like waiting in line overnight? You're just kind of in a place when you get there, but you knew you get their tickets early, but it was different because if you were a scalper back then, you still had to wait in line with everybody else.
Yeah.
And you could go up and pay in cash if you wanted to buy 50 tickets.
Well,
so later.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I would prefer, just on fairness alone, that if you wanted to go buy a ticket to a sporting event, you had that option. Now, maybe it's two tickets per person, so you can't go and buy eight.
Right.
I feel like but some of it, they used to limit it.
You know, like, but if you buy two, if you need four tickets, you bring two friends.
And that was the whole deal, right?
Yeah, and that way, look, you're going to get face value for the ticket. You're going to be able to get your tickets if you're willing to do that. And there's a certain amount of tickets that are allocated just so to say for the general public, instead of like, you gotta have this code, you gotta do this, you gotta go on this, you gotta do that.
Download our app.
You gotta sign up for the such and such club, and then you can, you know, register a day early to blah, 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 blah. Like, I just wanna buy the ticket.
That's all I want. I wanna give you my money.
I wanna go to the show.
That's it.
I wanna buy the ticket, and if I knew that I could go to a window and wait in line, yeah, I'd give it a shot.
Well, it was also like a tailgate, right? It's like HFS. Back where we grew up, like, they had HF Festival, which is this massive music festival every year.
Yeah.
So, like, they had, in 1999, they were like, we're going to have two as the world might end. Right? We were legit. We weren't, you know, Y2K. So, but you would wait in line at the whatever music store it was in College Park. It was almost like a tailgate all night. As people are camping out, you're hanging out.
And it becomes a party.
Yeah.
I mean, it absolutely does.
And that's, but Miles is right. That's just what you did. And then you had to hope by the time you got to that.
Right.
They still had some there.
I remember as a kid. Because most of the movie theaters only had two screens. It was a big deal if they had four, right? But every time a new Star Wars movie came out, my mom made it up. We're going day of. And we would wait in that line for 3 hours. Did not care because I was like that excited to see the movie. So you could buy your tickets in advance. And the people formed a line while the other showing is going on. And you just waited and waited and waited. And they finally opened the doors. And we would bum rush and sit down and like, all that's done.
Look, we would take we would drive to Pittsburgh. And go to either Sam Goody or Tower Records. So, number one, you went there because you were buying music, right? But say you went there in the spring. So the idea was all the money that you saved up, you could buy all of your CDs, all of your cassettes, all of those things. But there was a tickets sale there as well.
Yep.
So it was an amphitheater called Star Lake Amphitheater, which is the equivalent of a, you know, White River Amphitheater. And you'd say, okay, look, these are the shows that they've got booked right now. And we're going to buy tickets to this one, and this one. So by the time you left the record store, half the reason you went there was to get music. The other half...
buy tickets.
...was because you're buying tickets to go to a show. And it was the coolest thing to go into a... because I would buy the stuff of the bands that I would
that you're going to go see.
That I bought the tickets for. Because I wanted to know their entire catalog. There's a couple things I didn't have. I wanted to own it all.
Normal people don't do it, but the only thing I can think of sporting event that you still really wait for is students... for student section tickets.
And that makes sense.
Right? Like, in, you know, because Duke plays in that tiny little Cameron Indoor Arena, so they still have Shesseyville or whatever they call it. Or, like, I mean, if you go to Penn State on, like, a whiteout weekend, I've been there, and there's kids camped out because they want
to... have to wait to buy tickets.
Because you get tickets, but if you want to be up front or have a good seat, like, so for Duke, basically, if you don't wait as a student, you're probably not going to get a ticket.
You're not getting it, no.
And then Penn State's big, stadium's big enough. But those kids, you know, you want to be... look, my nephew's doing it right now, right? If it's anything Ole Miss, he wants to be there. And then that's what they do. They go to the stadium the night before. Mm-hmm. Plus, he's only 20. So whatever, it's not a fraternity. He's got like a whole little crew of friends. But his job on game day is to... him and his two other buddies have to get tickets. And they're basically, they're the ice boys for the day.
Is Ole Miss, are they part of that khaki button-up t-shirt club?
If you're in a fraternity, I'm almost positive you wear khakis and a button.
All right.
But I think that's just the Greek culture.
Right. What happened because it was cold? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, this was the season for the Sounders right after COVID was lifted. I was lined up to get season tickets, so I was really excited. I got two season tickets. My wife doesn't care for soccer, but she was excited because I was excited. Both of us would go to games. You know, we'd made a whole day of it. But then playoffs rolled around, It was about mid-late November. Started to get cold. And it was our game against Portland that season. It went to PKs. And the whole time, she's just, I'm cold. Can we go home? I'm cold. Can we go home? And, you know, it's our biggest rival. It's PKs. I'm like, no, we're not going home. After that game, we got home. She said, I am never going to a Sounders game with you ever again.
How happy were you?
I mean, it was a good and a bad, you know, because we had fun. But I dropped my tickets down to one, and I ended up moving next to my buddy and his dad. So it worked out, but she was not happy.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, too, with Sounder stuff, I had a season ticket forever. Is you get those, like, high 30s, like 38, just pissing rain.
That is bone-chilling cold. Worst.
Yeah. And it seemed like during the Holmgren era, there were tons more snow games.
It does,
man. If you remember the Favre game where everybody's throwing snowballs, there was a Romo game where people were throwing snowballs. It seemed like the Holmgren era, every time that December 25th game came around, it was always Arizona at home. That game always sucked. It's pouring down rain. It's freezing freaking cold. There's nowhere to hide if you're in the end zones. You're just exposed to the elements. Just freezing.
I will take, at that point, I will take the snow over that cold rain.
Easily, man. Yeah. The snow doesn't typically melt on you. I mean, the rain is just cold. And like you said, it's not cold enough to freeze, but it ain't warm enough to be a refreshment. One of the worst experiences I had was at a Seahawks game. For that same thing, man, about 30 degrees, pissing down rain. It's had to be 15 years ago, but they were playing the Ravens. Ravens were not good.
Oh, yeah, we were sitting beside the Seahawks Dodd's family. I know exactly that game.
But the Hawks beat the piss out of the Ravens. So it already sucks, but I just remember I'm freezing watching this ass, and it's an ass kicking I expected, but I'm like, why am I here? Like, I knew the weather. I knew this was going to suck. I knew this was going to be a cold day. I knew my team was going to lose, and here I am, hands shaking inside of my pocket. Like, again, don't want to drink beer because I don't want to take my hand out of my pocket and drink it. And I'm like, this blows. This is freaking awful, man.
What happened because it was cold? 206-803-ROB.
There is sometimes in sporting events, too, right? When the weather sucks, you're just like, I knew we were getting whooped. Why did I do this?
Right. I knew my team was going to lose. I knew the weather was going to suck. And somehow, I still told myself, go.
Yeah, like, now I'm here. I knew Oregon was going to wax my Maryland Terrapins in football this year.
No doubt about it.
But the weather turned out nice. The sun was out. They covered. We had a blast.
Yeah,
if it had been piss and rain that whole time,
it'd be a horrible
movie. I'm
sure
we would have been like, that sucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What happened because it was cold? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Amanda. Welcome to the men's room.
Okay.
Hola.
Hola.
Hola. So, kind of a sad turn of events. It was a cold day. I was heading to work, going into the building. There were some stairs, and it was all icy, so I fall down before I get into the building. My boss at the time told me, hey, you got to go to the doc, get yourself checked out. So I did that. Part of me going to the doc was getting tested to make sure that I was sober and not being belligerent as I'm going up the stairs. It came back dirty. I didn't know why, but apparently 2 to 3 weeks before that, I have seizures. And so I had a seizure in my sleep, and then my then boyfriend was a pot smoker. He thought it a good idea while I was having a seizure in my sleep to blow some pot in my mouth to make me not seize any longer. And so there's that. That was one of my first times smoking pot that I didn't know.
But did it work?
My system. I have no idea. I just know I had a seizure, but I don't know.
So you came back dirty because your then boyfriend blew pot smoke in your face, essentially, while you were seizing.
Did you have a federal job or some kind of job where like, you can't, you know, like a CDL, where that's way, way not cool?
So I was a program coordinator. So I didn't work with people, but it was for a memory care facility. And, I didn't even work with the patients necessarily. I was just, you know, programming who was coming or who's going as far as events go. But they had to test me, and that was a new one for me. I didn't even know I smoked pot, so that was...
Well, did they deny your insurance claim because of that? Did they say, okay, you were high when you walked up those steps and slipped?
I didn't get hurt. Like, I wasn't injured enough to even file anything, but I lost my job.
How did you lost your job because of the dirty test?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I showed up to work one day, the next day after my doctor's appointment, that I didn't even need to go. Like, I wasn't injured, but they had to have me go.
Sure.
So there you go. And I basically lost a job because of it.
I'm not
with that guy anymore, by the way.
How long did it take you to piece together that that's how you ended up dirty? I mean, did you have to ask your boyfriend, like, why is there weed in my system?
Well, I was kind of naive before all this, and all I could think of was because he has the, I call him a vape stick, whatever those things are. Like, he had those, and he was smoking them all the time. So all I could think of at the time was, like, maybe I got some in my system because he's always smoking in the house.
Sure.
It was cold, you know?
So I mean, I feel like if somebody's just constantly smoking bong hits or something in the house, I mean,
maybe. Yeah.
That's got to be it, too.
Did you tell me you have a better job now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a great job.
And you have a better boyfriend now?
Yes.
Maybe this all was meant to be in some kind of weird way. I know probably not at the time, but, you know, all things considered, in hindsight, maybe that was a good thing.
That was a crap way to lose your job.
Yeah, but
slip on ice on the stairs, right, fall down, come back dirty in spite of the fact that you don't do anything and then get fired.
But now you got a better job and a better boyfriend.
Well, sure.
You know, I might take that off. I knew in advance. You mean to tell me all I need to do is fall down these steps and would have a better relationship and a better job? Boom, 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 boom.
I think it's like she sees it out. Better blow some smoke in her face.
Thanks, doctor.
See if that helps her.
What happened because it was cold? 206-803-ROCK.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
9.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Tara Daly, Steve Makes from the Daily Makes Morning Show. Coming up, we'll sit and spin. Today we've got 10 actors that thought they were musicians and actually released serious albums.
Okay.
10 actors that released music coming up at 4:30. Right after emails on our question, what happened because it was cold? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
You know, back in the day, my girlfriend, she used to drag me to the park to take her sunbathing. She'd wear her bikini, so I'd be like, all for it. But it would be so cold. It would remind me of the Ice Age. But all she'd get was goosebumps. She wouldn't catch much of a tan. She'd get a tiny little tan. But the worst part of it was the frozen dog dew, you know. They'd pick up these piles of dog dew. They'd put it in these bags. And they just drop the bags on the ground, and they'd freeze. And they wouldn't pick them up, and they turn into, like, these landmines. You know, I thought they outlawed landmines, you know, back in, what was it, 2000 and 2001? What was it?
I have no idea, bro.
Why was she going to a park in the middle of the winter in a bikini?
Well, when the sun comes out, like it was today, here in Portland, we got a little bit of sun. You can get just a little bit of sun and just a little bit of tan.
Okay. All right. Well, I would recommend not wearing that in the wintertime.
It's just a general thing.
Exactly.
Or do it in your home when the sunlight comes through the window.
Yeah, or, I mean, at that point, just go to use a tanning bed.
Although, he seemed like an idiot, so there's a good chance that the chick that he was dating is also an idiot.
What happened because it was cold? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the men's room.
Good afternoon.
Hola.
Hola. So my friend relayed this story to me, and I cannot remember the exact state. I think it was Wisconsin, Minnesota, somewhere in that part of the country. They had a baby sheep that didn't make it, but because it was so cold, it kind of was stiff and standing up and frozen, and they couldn't bury it because the ground was too hard. So they came up with the idea that somehow placing it at a nativity scene, because seeing it was around the holidays, would be
all right.
Like, hey, this will look like part of the set, and then we'll that'll just be that, and then we can figure something out later. Well, I guess overnight and the next day, when the folks came to attend church, it had thawed out somewhat, and they didn't really think about it. But yeah, when folks arrived, they were a little disturbed by the sight of the nativity scene.
So I guess they could tell that the sheep itself was a real animal, and everything around it was fake.
Yeah, well, for a bit there when it was cold, you couldn't. But yeah,
I mean, it's not bad thinking, man.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
Like, we can't bury it. It's still standing up. You know, why not? Nativity scene.
You got to call an audible sometimes. And, you know, when the weather changes quickly, I think the physical properties do as well. And, well, you know.
No, like your friend's thinking, man.
Yeah.
Like, we can't bury it. Things frozen standing up. What the hell?
It belongs here.
Make a nativity scene.
Yeah.
That is, I don't know that would have crossed my mind. But I'm like, what the hell with it?
Right.
Holidays are coming up. What else are we going to do? Lambsicles.
Jeez, a whiz.
Well, you can fathom why people were throwing off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, when it's still frozen solid, maybe you don't notice. But yeah, when it begins to thaw, kind of like, is that a real sheep out there? My God.
We're going to Texas. We brought this story yesterday. Port Arthur Police and Child Protective Services are both investigating a 25-year-old Port Arthur man because of his viral TikTok video. Now, the man, he is accused of using a baby to brush the snow off of his car earlier this week during that winter storm that went through southeast Texas. Police now believe this constitutes child endangerment.
Come on, guys.
They are not releasing the man's name, but the chief expects an arrest warrant to be issued sometime next week through the Jefferson County District's Attorney's Office. Police say the shocking recording of the video shows a 25-year-old man using a baby to remove snow from his Hyundai Elantra. We confirmed it was a 3-month-old baby in the middle of a winter storm. Sad situation. I know a lot of people go to social media and they're looking for clicks, but this is not a deal where you should put a baby on a windshield. Police were tipped off about the video and showed up the same day to question the man and check on the baby. He had two other females with him at the time. We suspect one of them was the mom. They checked the baby. Baby was just fine. Investigators are looking into the man's criminal history, but he's expected to be charged with child endangerment for doing this.
I mean, they can't really think he was using that for real outside of just being a joke.
Normal people do not. They obviously are very stupid, but we brought up the story yesterday and someone texted in. They said, would they be this upset if, you know, baby's first snow and the kid's making snow angels? I said, no. Because it's like, it has nothing to do about putting your kid in danger. I would rather use my kid to get snow off my windshield than drop them in snow for them to make snow angels. But because people find snow angels cute and the babies giggle, somehow that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? But the less snow on your kid, and obviously you're doing it as a joke, brushing the snow off of the windshield, like that they have a problem with. So it's just a matter of optics. If a kid makes a snow angel, I don't think it's a brilliant idea, but nobody cares.
Right.
You know, physically pick them up, brush snow off, and they're actually going to arrest this guy.
I was actually talking to a little baby this weekend, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know how old, maybe 5 months, 6 months old. Just giving me that blank stare. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at him, holding him, looking at me, and I'm looking at him, I'm sticking my tongue out, and nothing's working, and his dad's standing right there. So, you know, I'm like, all right, let's teach him some words. So I dropped the F-bomb on him, right? And the kid looks at me and he finally smiles.
No, I know that
now,
one.
Now I start sticking my tongue out some more.
Nothing.
Nothing. And I'm shaking him. Like, ooh, blah, 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 blah.
Nothing.
Not even crack a smile.
Right.
I dropped the F-bomb again. Huge grin.
Really?
I don't know what it was. I was just like, ha-ha.
I like this kid.
I cracked the code. What, he was not old enough to know any real words, but yeah.
Man, I had a baby staring at me at the airport in Austin. And, you know, I know that's what babies do, but this kid stared at me so long, it started getting weird. Like, baby stare. I get it. Mm-hmm. And I look back, kind of waved, smiled, did the thing. Gave me like a half smile. And then I started reading a book. I look up and, like, this kid is still staring at me. So now I'm like, who is this mofo going to stare at me? So then I'm staring back. And like you said, nothing changes in this kid's expression at all. Stuck on my tongue again, waved to him again, half smile. I go back to my book, look back up. This kid is still staring at me. And I'm like, they need to do something with this baby. Like, this kid's starting to freak me the F out, man.
Babies are fine. It's like that 3-year-old.
Because they're judging it.
Right. And they can talk. So it's like I dealt with it over the weekend. And like, she stared at me. Now I'm just like, hey, kid. You know, just like, what is she going to say? Right? Because you could tell. Like,
right. She had something to say.
She had something definitely to say.
All right, me and my buddy Tony, man, we're on a bus in Baltimore. We're teenagers. And this woman gets on. She has her kid. Kid's maybe 3, I guess. And as kids want to do, he pops up on his knees, and so now he's facing us, right? And he's just doing a stare thing. No big deal. We keep talking. And I've never audibly, like, gasped at a child, but I cannot explain how ugly this kid was when he smiled. I know it sounds mean, but this kid got real ugly when he smiled. It's kind of like a devil smile. Like, man, his brow furrowed, this whole thing. So he's just staring, but he's not smiling at this point. And Tony said something. And this kid got this big grin, and we're both like, Jesus Christ! I'm telling you, man, this kid looked like the Antichrist when he smiled. It freaked us the F out.
What happened because it was cold? 206-803-ROG.
I know it sounds bad. It really does. But I'm telling you, if you saw this kid, and this kid smiled at you, you'd freak out too, man.
I just like talking to kids when they can't respond.
Sure.
Like, it's like my buddy, I don't know, his kid's only, like, same thing, like 7 months old or whatever. But we're watching football. Now, he's just turned the other way, not looking at the TV, and we're like, come on, man. Like, turn around. You want to watch football or not? And he's just like, like playing with a toy. We're like, dude, come on, Phil.
Yeah, turn around, man. Watch the game. Learn something.
Pride.
Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, we're going to go back to the 90s. I was in the Army, and we stationed down at Fort Knox, and we had some exercises to do one day. It was probably five to 7 degrees outside, and we used to drive around these little troop carrier vehicles that the top would open in the back, and then driver sat up front and all that. Well, the person who was telling me where to go and what to do was very clear that they did not want to go anywhere near this big muddy pond. That was over there and was mostly frozen over, and I thought it would be entertaining. Needless to say, a wave of muddy water, the splash guard, I didn't put it down. Wave of this muddy, slushy water came inside the vehicle, covered it all. I was lucky they didn't kill me on spot because everybody got drenched. And because of the temperature, the vehicle wash was closed, so I had to stay out there for almost 16 hours. By hand with a bucket of water, a little bit at a time, cleaning the inside of that vehicle out.
16 hours?
It was horrible. The next day I got done with that, went to chow, and I had to be right back at working again.
Oh, man. Well, how long did it take you to realize you made a bad, bad mistake?
I still think it was funny to see them all drenched in mud. So, I mean,
worth it in the end?
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
That's typically how these things work. Like, something catastrophically stupid happens. It kind of ruins your day. It ruins your mood. But somehow in the back of your head, like, look, man, in a week, you're going to laugh your ass off about this. And yeah. I realize that when you have conversations with the kids, they'll bring up something. Like, Dad, do you remember? Or what happened to time? And as you're retelling the story, I realize I'm laughing out loud. But when I go back to that moment, like, wow, guys, I was pissed, man. They're like, we know you were. Like,
Didn't you and your brother almost kill each other inside of an igloo? Like carbon monoxide poisoning?
Yeah, yeah. Snowed a bunch. So two things. Number one, we built an igloo in the front yard, right? And we spent the, like there was like the like bricks.
The bucket you fill up with snow.
It was almost the same. Yeah, it was like a red thing that the same K-Tel company that made like the little mini skis. Exactly. Like,
you could make bricks. Mm-hmm. So we took the time. I mean, we dug all the way in there. And then I remember my mom was like, do not break my giant like spoons or whatever. We broke two of them in the process, obviously.
Right.
And then, yeah, we were just kids and weren't thinking. So we were down in the grass part of it. We had some leaves. So we were like, oh, let's start a fire in here. But we didn't build a chimney. So it quickly became engulfed in smoke and we almost died. And it like crawl out.
You didn't put a hole in the top for the smoke to go out.
Miles, it never dawned on us as kids that you needed a chimney.
Okay, all
right. Right, because there's the door in. Like, we just thought we were geniuses that we were like, oh, we have a little patch of grass. First of all, if my parents knew we were burning leaves in the front yard.
I was going to say, that would be the initial problem, yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, that igloo stuck up for a while. You know, like snow melts or whatever, but I mean, we had built that thing solid.
Nice, nice.
We were scared to death of it, though.
And didn't go back in after that?
I never went back in.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We go to upstate. Steve, forest rangers and environmental conservation officers used sleds and chainsaws to rescue a bull moose that had fallen through the ice on a frozen lake. The State Department of Environmental Conservation said officers responded to a call about a moose in Lake Abenaki. It's about 100 miles northwest of Albany. They observed the moose in the lake surrounded by ice and unable to get out of the water. An airboat was sent to help, but officers realizing the moose might not be able to survive much longer in the frigid water, they ventured out on the ice. Now, they were wearing their cold water rescue suits that would protect them if they fell into the lake, and they cut a path through the ice with chainsaws. The moose was around 200 feet from shore. So, they said, there's no training manual for getting moose out of the ice. The officers, they were on sleds to help spread their weight, used the sleds to guide the moose out of the water. We pushed the jet sleds that we had up to it close, and for whatever reason, it was scared of those. So once we got behind it, we were able to direct it. By the way, the moose weighed over 1,000 pounds.
Good God.
It eventually made it to shore. It had been treading water in the lake for around 2 hours, and because of that, it was really tired and shivering and did not have much energy left. We didn't know if it was going to be able to stand up or not, but after about 15 minutes being on the shore, it got up and walked into the woods. It was just an amazing sight to see that huge of a moose stand up right in front of us.
Man, people, listen, headlines all week are about people rescuing animals, all right? So, wildlife officers rescue 30 cold-stunned sea turtles in Florida, all right? Because it's so cold, the turtles don't matter. Deer rescued from frigid waters and Potomac River. Where's the other one that I saw just today?
It was a case of a manatee that was saved out of a starting to freeze canal in Florida. They moved it to an aquarium.
A firefighters rescued 600-pound donkey that fell through the ice.
600-pound donkey?
Okay, that's what I was thinking, man. Like I said, I'm a donkey apologist after meeting the lovely and late Pokey. Rest your soul, bro. There's no way that thing weighed 600 pounds. I don't know if that's heavy for a donkey. That seems awfully heavy. But again, yeah, this is in Pennsylvania. Donkey
I guess
fell
they
can
get
ice
up to 1,000 pounds.
Good God, man.
Depending on the size of that donkey.
Fat asses.
Yeah, big fat ass. That's the kind of ass I got.
Going back to sleeping in igloos and whatnot when I was in scouts, we did one camp out that I can remember where we were trying to make our own I suppose they're not ice caves, but we needed to make our own shelter. There was one group that did. There was one pair that did. It was a father and son. They actually made this snow cave, and they slept in it. They did everything right. I loved the Scoutmaster. He was probably one of my favorites. God rest his soul. But he was also one of the best teachers that we ever had, and there's actually a still image that we have from him that, you know, I was long since in bed at this point, but he has actually sat around the campfire just chatting it up with other Scoutmasters and Scouts that were all there just teaching and just swapping stories and whatnot. And I remember he had this thermos that he had tea in it, I believe.
Right.
And there's actually a still shot image of him because he had talked so long after he had made this tea that he was able to lift up his thermos with the string of the tea bag.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it was that cold outside.
It was frozen?
Frozen solid at the top. It was great.
Damn.
God, yeah. Man, I do not miss cold weather, but it's weird. You know, when I lived in Rochester, it was so cold so often, you don't realize it's cold. So, like, but at 40 degrees in January, like, people went out in shorts and they washed the car, they mowed the lawn. I mean, it felt like summertime. So, in my mind, when I hear 40 degrees, just from childhood, I feel like it's going to be warm. It's not at all. I mean, I went outside earlier today. I'm a smoker. It's what, 45?
Mm-hmm.
Still freezing my ass off. Like, I have absolutely no longer am I acclimatized to that at all.
Now, well, it also depends on where you are, right? Like, that's one of the things at Burning Man. Like, you're in the desert.
Yeah.
So during the day, it's 100-some degrees. And then at night, sometimes, like, you don't get into the 60s, which I know does not sound cold.
But you're in the desert.
But when you've been in the desert and it's dropped 40 degrees, like, by nighttime, you're like, oh, my God, hell,
you could be
I am freezing.
You could be
out
at
here.
The gorge when that sun goes over,
oh,
the,
God,
goes
yeah.
over the river, man. I mean, the temperature seems to drop 20 degrees. Doesn't matter when. You could be in August. But it, all of a sudden, you go from, like, I got a suntan and I'm burned to I have a sunburn and now I am freezing because of that and the combination yeah. of the fact that it just dropped 20 degrees.
Man, we got frozen out this last year out at the Gorge. We went and saw Luke Combs out in October. Last show at the Gorge for the year.
Oof.
And they had a bad windstorm roll through there. It delayed the show just because the wind was so bad out there, right? So, and
right, Friday night, like, it was almost like he wasn't going to play.
It was very, very close of him not playing. The opener got out there, was able to do their show. Parker McCollum, I think, was next, and he got delayed by like an hour. They kept going out on stage. We showed up late because we didn't really care about anybody else. We just wanted to see Luke Combs.
Yeah.
So we show up there, and we keep getting this announcement from the stage, like, we're not canceling the show. Like, I know people are saying it. We're not canceling the show. Right now, it's just delayed. And Luke was supposed to come out at like 9. They delayed him all the way to like 10:30, and it is just ice cold wind that's blowing through there. I mean, we're just all penguin together just trying to defend ourselves against the wind. There's a shop that's there that kicked everybody out because everybody was trying to
just going in there to get warm.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're not actively buying something, get out of the shop.
I've like, heard that many times.
We're freezing our ass off out here, man.
Tara Daly, Steve Banks from the Daily Banks Morning Show. Coming up, we're going to sit and spin. We've got 10 actors that release music at 4:30. And your email's coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.